welcome to the weekly Sojourner's Bulletin. We hope that you'll enjoy the message, but right now, enjoy the music. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are currently or will be listening from around the world. We're so glad that you can come onto the site and download these messages. We know that they mean so much to you. We have feedback from time to time from people, and we know that these messages are helpful to you and that many people enjoy hearing them and participating in these messages. I won't name any particular countries in this particular session because we just go through so many countries, but we're glad that you're here with us. In this session, we're going to be thinking in terms of worship resurrected. This is the next to the last message in our resurrection series that we've been doing. So this is worship resurrected, and our scripture is found in Genesis 24, verses 40 through 53. This is a little longer than I usually have in the scripture, but this is telling a whole story. And I think you'll see how this ties in to worship. He replied, "The Lord before whom I have walked, I will send his angel with you and make your journey a success, so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. Then, when you go to my clan, you will be released from my oath, even if they refuse to give her to you. You will be released from my oath. When I came to the spring today, I said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside the spring of a maiden. If a maiden comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar, and if she says to me, drink, and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Malka bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelet on her arms, and I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. Then Abraham's servant heard what they said. When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver, jewelry, and articles of clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and her mother. You see, this is a very important part of Scripture, because you'll see that worship occurred here. There was faithfulness, there was worship. Everything that goes with worship is found here. And this will make more sense, I think, to you as I go through the message. You know, people are creative beings and builders because they are made in the image and likeness of God, the Creator. It's easy to see where mankind places value by what is worshipped. Now think about that. You can tell a lot about someone or some group of people by what they worship. Interestingly, it is relatively easy to see what is worshipped by a society by observing what is built by a people or a civilization. Those things which are built often become objects representing what is worshipped. If you looked at our country in the United States today, you might think that what is worshipped are shopping malls and banks, because we build magnificent shopping places and we build magnificent banks. And as a result of that, individuals build magnificent homes. And they actually dedicate their whole life just to owning a home. I'm not implying that there's something wrong with that, but I'm just saying that that some people want such a grand home that you wonder if they own it or it owns them. But let's look at the English definition of worship in a dictionary. The Merriam-Webster dictionary says the etymology, or the beginning of the word, where this word worship first came from, was a Middle English worship, worthiness, respect, reverence, paid to a divine. Now, this would be reverence paid to a divine being. From Old English, worthscrip, worthiness, respect. From worth, worthy, to honor. Now, that was the noun part. Now, worship is also a verb, to honor or reverence as a divine being or supernatural power. Or another definition there would, as a verb, would be to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. Celebrity, worshipped by fans. As an intransitive verb, to perform or take part in worship, or an act of worship. But you know, if we go back even further than that, now that's Old English, and you say, well, that's a little bit technical. Well, yes, it is, but you can download the part here in a PDF form from the internet, and read that and spend a little more time with it, and I think that will become perhaps a little more clear to you. But it's actually comes from worth-ship, the word worth and the word ship. The word worship then originally had a meaning of worth, being carried out or shipped, you see, moved around. So worth ship. In behavior, revering that which had worth, holding in reverence something that had worth. Now the word Moses used for worship was shakach. And it's a primary root to depress, that is to prostrate, and frustrate, in other words, to fall down in worship, and to do homage to royalty or God, to bow oneself down, to crouch, to fall down flat, to humble, to beseech, to make obeisance, to do reverence, to make stoop, to worship. In other words, when we bow down, when someone goes before, you've probably seen pictures of this, when somebody goes before the Queen of England, they may bow, because they are seeing that person as a person of worth. So they are giving worth-ship to that person. Now, don't misunderstand that with worship of God, because it's a different thing that they're doing, but they're showing the worth and the high value and high esteem in which they hold that person. But we're looking at worship resurrected. Let me ask you a question. Does worship need resurrected in your life? Oh, you say, but I love worship music. I love worship songs. That's not what I said. You know, you can like songs and not even know their words. You can just like their tune. Or you may know their words, but you may pay little attention to their words. Many people, I think, need to resurrect worship in their life. And worship is more than a service or whatever. Let me go into this a little more deeply. Worship resurrected is the attitude and action of giving God His due as God, with nothing else placed ahead of Him. With nothing else placed ahead of Him. God is the head and not the tail in the life of a believer. God is at the top. God is at the head. And He is worshipped there. Now, why do I sort of stress this? Because I see many people who really worship themselves and their own opinions or their own ideas. These are people who even claim to be believers. But they will rely on what they think or how things seem to them rather than what the Scripture says, what the Scripture reveals, what the Holy Spirit reveals to them. They have to decide themselves. Now, I'm not saying we're just supposed to be passive. The Scripture does tell us to test the spirits and to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So we're not just passive in this. But we need to know that we're worshiping, and we need to know how we worship. Now, at this point, I'm not going to start telling you how to enter into a church building or how to enter into a worship service. that's a very important thing, perhaps. But just knowing the correct relationship to the one worthy of a person's worship is just not enough. You can easily say, well, God's God, sure, and I know God's in charge and God's on top. But then you have to find out, how do you live your life in relationship to that? This is so very important. You know, this is just as knowing a person, you know, if you know there's a debt that a person owes, but just knowing that you or somebody owes a debt is not enough to satisfy the debt. You see, well, I know about worship, but yes, but if you never do the worship, if you never really truly worship, if you go through the motions, but it's not in your heart. You see, payment of a debt in full is how a debt is satisfied. While it is true, a person may indeed worship in a worship service if the worship is only done in a worship box, so to speak, quote unquote, a worship box, then worship has been relegated to an also-ran position with every other activity in which a person engages. If that's all it is, then it is not a satisfying sort of worship. It's not satisfying to God, nor will it be satisfying to you. When you worship, it is not... Do you understand that worship is not to make you feel good? Worship is blessing God, not you. You may indeed be blessed, but you're not worshiping you. If when you worship, you're just thinking about how good you feel, you've missed the whole point of worship. And if you only worship when you're singing worship songs, then you've missed the whole point, because worship is something done with life. Notice the servant who goes out to find Rebekah and bring Rebekah back to be a bride. He talks to God, and I want you to notice that he says in verse 45 there in Genesis 24, before I finished praying in my heart, Rebekah came out. You see, this servant was already in his heart praying. And what do we know? God looks on the heart. Now, am I saying you should only pray silently? Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is God looks on the heart. And this person was praying in their heart. And even before they finished praying, the answer came. The answer came. And he actually put sort of a fleece before the Lord, because he said, if I say this and they say this, and she came out, he said it, she said it, everything he said was right, absolutely in sync with that. Why? Because this servant knew the worth-ship of God. This servant understood God was in charge. How can a person know? How can a person know what they worship? How can you or I know what we really worship? Well, simply by inventorying what it is which fills our thoughts and deeds. What fills your thoughts and deeds? If God is not at the top of that list, then take a look at what is, because that is what you worship. If God is just some place you run to when you're in trouble, who do you really worship? You're worshiping you. You're just looking for a little help for you so you can carry on your life, your way, the way you want it to be. And this was not the case with the servant that we see here in the scripture. This servant was a true servant. This servant was wanting to fulfill the commission that he had been given by his master, and sought God in the fulfilling of that purpose. Why? Because this person here looked at God as the source, at God as the highest in their thinking. So all we have to do is simply inventory what it is which fills our thoughts and deeds. and we'll know what we worship. Even waiting on God may, in fact, be the purest form of worship. I believe this so strongly. Waiting on God. I see so many people, they will become believers, and they will decide they want to do something for God. Now notice, God hasn't told them to do something. Or he's told all of us some things, don't misunderstand me, but they will come up with some big grandiose thing that they have to do because this is what they want to do. But it's not God's plan. There again, who's worshipped? Is it God or the individual? Many of you have heard me tell the story about how I, so full of pride, went to God one day and told God about all the wonderful things I had done for him. I said, look at this. I have taken care of orphans. I have fed the hungry. I have helped people who had addictions. I have helped clothe people. I have helped house people. I told him all these wonderful things I'd done. And these were many of these things were things that he had assigned me to do. But other things I told him that I had done, he said, that's really nice. But unfortunately, those things weren't the things I had assigned for you to do. How would you like to have God say to that to you sometime? When you told him all the good things you had done for him, and he said, those were good godly things, but those weren't the good godly things I had assigned to you. My friends, it's very important that we worship him and not ourselves, not our own idea of what it is to love him. But we find out, what does he want from us specifically? And the only way we find that out is to do those very things that he wants from everybody. Many of you have heard me say that the one thing that we know that he wants us to do is he wants us to go out and spread the gospel, which is the one thing most believers are unwilling to do. Oh, they're willing to do all sorts of other things. They'll build big buildings. They'll teach all sorts of classes. They will send money to all sorts of causes and missionaries to do it, but they won't do it. They just won't do it. It's very important that we do what we know to do, and then we seek him. And if we're not certain about something, but we believe we're to do it, we can do as this servant did. We can say, okay, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, then you have this happen. And I've had those things happen exactly the way I prayed them. But you see, if you think God is dead and you're alive, and you say, oh, how could you say that? Well, there are people who do. There are even people who claim to be believers. They are believers by philosophy, but they're not believers by relationship. If you're a person who goes to God and tells God what you're going to do for him, never seeking what he wants you to do for him, you're a Christian by philosophy. You believe in doing good things, but you believe in doing them in your timing, in your way, when you want to do them. My friends, that can become a train wreck, and I have seen it become a train wreck in so many people's lives. 40-some years now, I have observed this in ministry, and I've seen over and over again train wrecks in people's lives because they announced they were doing something for God that God never asked them to do. How sad that would be to come to the end of your days and have God say, but I asked you to spread the gospel, and you didn't ever do that. You did all these other good, godly things, but I ask everybody to do this, and you didn't do it. You see, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because I have kept worship resurrected in my life. Because my first desire is to serve him, not to make myself feel good. So when you get into a worship time, and that, if that's the only time you're in that little worship box and you come out of there and then you're serving yourself, or if you're in the worship because I love the music, it just makes me feel so good. Worship is not there to make you feel good. Worship is there to declare your love for God. That's its purpose. We need to resurrect that in many people's lives. But as I said, even waiting on God may in fact be the purest form of worship. I've had people come to me and say, God's told me to do thus and so. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for Him to tell me when I can do it. Well, the very thing I'm doing now, I was given 37 years before I was allowed to do it, but I was told this would be what you would do. But it was 37 years later, He said, okay, now you can do it. Think of that. I have people come to me after 6 weeks and they're in complete turmoil because the sky is falling in their lives, they think, because they're not out there in the field doing all of this and that, and they're being all this and that. Do you remember that David was crowned or anointed king before he was ever crowned king? The scripture says that we're all priests and kings. But my friend, let me tell you, when you come into the body of Christ, just like David, you need to be able to grow into your fullness as a priest and a king. If you want to start out the first year, the first 2 years, or whatever, and you think that you're going to just be the be-all, end-all without learning and receiving from others, from the fivefold ministry or whatever that God has put into the body of Christ, you're only worshiping yourself. You're only looking to yourself. You're only thinking about yourself. Because it takes some time of maturation to bring these things about. It's very sad when I see people do that, because often it ends in a train wreck. Oh, they'll be going along really well for a time. But then when the testing comes, in whatever ministry they're doing, that's when the train wreck happens. Why? Because they never ever learned to even wait. They never learned to learn. They never learned to let God speak and let the things happen in God's plan and His way. Because they said, okay, this is what you told me to do, so now God, I'm going to do it and you're going to have to bless it. And I'll do it my way, but you'll have to bless my way. That's not putting God first, that's putting yourself first. You have no idea how many people really worship themselves. God is worthy of our worship. And there's where our worship should be focused. So I'll say it again, my friends, waiting on God may in fact be the purest form of worship. Now, let me tell you something. Not actively waiting for God to fulfill a promise is rebellion. And actively waiting does not mean dormant. Because I'll bet many of you who are listening to this and you say, well, what was I supposed to do? Just sit there and sit there and sit there? No, you were supposed to go out and spread the gospel. That's the one thing we know we're to do. We also know that people are to be baptized, and we know that people are to come to the table of the Lord. And we know that people are not to forsake the assembling of themselves together, as is the habit of some, the scripture says. So if we know those things, then we need to be doing those things. When you do those things, then God speaks to you and gives you more specific things for you to do. But actively waiting is not dormant, but doing all He has asked while you're waiting. Doing those very things that you know the Scripture says we are to do. That's what we do while we wait for our specific task. When you're in a war, and my friends, believe me, we are in a spiritual war. But when a general is in a war, he doesn't send all his troops in on the same day. You have to have some people in reserve held back there so you can bring the other people. When they get a little tired, you can bring them back for a little rest and relaxation and send another in. But if you think you're the only warrior out there, then you're not tied into any others. You cannot use a soldier. You cannot use a worker who will not allow themselves to be tied in to whatever you're doing. If everybody's out there on their own, it looks like the body of Christ is having a seizure. Not that it's working in a... I mean, if your hands on your body all decided they were going to do something different at the same time, what good would your hands be to you? If your feet all decided they were going to go off in different directions, both your feet were going to go off in different directions, you'd fall down. You see, we're a part of the body of Christ. And it's through being the part of that body and through jointly worship, showing God His worth-ship, that His word and His plan is carried out. So actively waiting is not dormant, my friends. It's not slumber until one day He comes along and wakes you up and says, okay, now you can go out. No, it's preparation by doing the things that you know to do. Worship resurrected as the top priority will bring all the blessings of God into your life. Let me say that again. Worship resurrected as the top priority will bring all the blessings of God into your life. Why? Because you'll be focused on God. Because you'll be in true worship, not feel-good worship. There's nothing wrong with feeling good because of worship and enjoying that. But worship is so much more than about me. Worship is about Him. So resurrect worship in your life, my friend. If you're a believer, resurrect worship. If you're not a believer, begin to worship Him. Begin to let Him know that He has the answers and that you are waiting. You are loving Him. You are coming to Him. If you've never accepted Him, do it now. Say to Christ. Say to the Heavenly Father. Say, Heavenly Father, I want Jesus the Christ to take over my heart and my life. And I want to worship and serve Him all my days. If you prayed that, you're born again. You're a part of the body of Christ. If you've been stumbling along, wondering why things aren't going just the way you wanted them to go, and you've been a believer, it may be that you're one of those people out there that are doing your own thing. You're like the seizure that is happening in somebody's hand or arm or foot. You need to get wired back into the whole body of Christ, to the whole plan of God. Then He can use you. And He'll work through you. He will confirm His word with signs and wonders through you. He will do that. Now you might say, I need some help in understanding this. That's probably true. I know there was a time I certainly did. I didn't start off with knowing all the things I know now, or being able to do all the things that I can do now, or hearing the kinds of things I hear God say to me that I hear now. And I'd be glad to help you. Contact me, The Sojourner. Sojourner is spelled Sojourner. So contact me by email, thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Or you can contact me over Skype. Now, Skype is one of those telephone services through the Internet. You can contact me there, and you can reach me there at The Sojourner, all one word, The Sojourner 3734. No spaces there, just all as one thing. The Sojourner 3734, or email thesojourner@sojournershub.org. So I'm going to leave you now as you think about worship and making sure that worship is, and proper worship is, a part of your life. So I pray this blessing on you. And I look forward to our being together in another session to have the opportunity to bring you more from the Word of God. Here's the blessing. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.